You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Rumors that China will ease strict COVID rules has sparked a rally in financial markets. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. We'll start with a check of the numbers because Asian markets stage a strong rally on Friday. Hong Kong's Hang Seng soared 5.3%, notching its biggest weekly gain in 11 years. The Shanghai Composite Index jumped 2.4%, bringing its weekly gain to the biggest in more than 2 years. And the Chinese yuan currency jumped nearly 1% against the U.S. dollar. Market analysts say the optimism is twofold. First, in reaction to reports, U.S. inspectors completed an audit of U.S.-listed Chinese companies on schedule. There's been a running rift about regulatory compliance between China and the U.S. Also fueling gains is a report from Bloomberg that authorities in China are mulling how to end a rule that penalizes airlines for carrying passengers with COVID into the country. Though, as it did earlier this week, China's foreign ministry dismissed on Friday that report at a briefing. Still, as hopes for a more open China continue, on Friday, Germany's Chancellor Olaf Scholz became the first G7 leader to visit the country in 3 years. He met with President Xi Jinping in Beijing, who called for greater cooperation between the two countries during what he called times of change and turmoil. But there has been criticism of the visit, as the BBC's Stephen McDonnell explains from the capital.
He's been criticized for doing this too soon after Xi Jinping shored up his grip on power here at the Communist Party Congress. But Scholz says, well, look, we need to have talks. China's an important country. It's important economically for Germany. And what's more, he said that he won't be shirking his responsibility to mention thorny issues here like human rights abuses in China. That said, he's only here for a day. It's a bit of a fly-in, fly-out visit. So really what he's trying to do is to use this to bolster Germany's trade links with China at a time which is, you know, pretty difficult economically for Germany.
And has there been any concrete actions or agreements that have come out of these talks today?
No. In short, nothing that's been announced unless something's happened behind closed doors that we don't know about. But I don't think that was ever going to be the goal. Really, it's to sort of promote connections and things like this and look to the long term. People following ties between China and Germany will know that it's an enormously important economic relationship. I mean, just take cars, for example. Germany sells a lot of cars in China, but it's also got factories here. So when Germany and other countries were going through the great financial crisis, China kind of pulled them through. The same with countries like Australia. So, of course, this is an important relationship. The problem is, though, that you wonder how much in the future China will necessarily be able to deliver such benefits with the sort of decoupling that's going on between China and the West, and also with the ongoing chaos of these zero COVID measures, which can China be relied upon in the future to be such a stable economic partner? And I think these are very, frankly, very important big questions to be asked.
The BBC's Stephen McDonnell for us in Beijing. Thanks so much for breaking this down.
No worries. Good to talk to you.
To Ukraine now, where President Vladimir Zelensky said Russian attacks on Ukraine's energy infrastructure have left 4.5 million people there without power. He accused the Kremlin of energy terrorism to compensate for Russian troops' failure to gain significant ground on the front line. The BBC's Catherine Birahanga reports now from the capital, Kyiv.
In his nightly address, President Zelensky said that Kyiv and 10 other regions had been affected by blackouts. Temporary emergency shutdowns had to be put in place because so much of Ukraine's energy infrastructure has been destroyed by Russian missile strikes. Mr. Zelensky acknowledged the frustration of many Ukrainians with the power shortages and said he'd asked energy companies to do better.
That's the BBC's Catherine Birahunga reporting from the Ukrainian capital there.
Tensions are growing between Britain and the southern European nation of Albania. The British Home Secretary said the UK coastline is being, quote, invaded by migrants arriving on small boats from the English Channel. While in previous years, migrants have arrived mostly from Afghanistan, Iraq, and Iran, these remarks prompted Albania's prime minister to accuse Britain of scapegoating citizens from his country. That's because since the start of this year, more than 12,000 Albanians have reached the UK on those small boats. That's compared to 50 migrants 2 years ago. The BBC's Sarah Mineta has been looking into why Albanians have set their sights on the UK.
Linda has put a pot of Albanian coffee on the fire, and while it's brewing, she looks at the pile of dirty dishes in the sink and shoots a sideways glance at her 14-year-old son, Konstantin, whose turn it was to do the washing up.
You didn't clean.
Housework.
While we chat, Linda constantly checks her phone. Her eldest son, who's 21, hasn't called her today. He left Albania a few weeks ago to go to the UK on a rubber dinghy. She's afraid he might be identified through her, so she's asked me not to use their real names.
He was working seasonally here. He would work for 4 months, but after that, there wasn't much, a very low salary, working in the kitchen for 8-hour shifts. He had more expectations for himself. In the UK, they pay you better, there is more security for what you do, and they value you, even if it takes sacrifice.
Some parts of Albania are emptying at an alarming rate. I'm here in a suburb in the outskirts of the capital, Tirana, and all around me I can see empty houses. Their owners have closed them, they've padlocked them as they were leaving with their families to go to the UK.
In here in Albania now, from age of 15 up to 35 now, most of them they go in, they leave in.
Selim, again not his real name, knows this story very well. He himself went to the UK twice, hiding in the back of a lorry, the first time in 2009. He worked in construction there on and off for 11 years. I asked him why so many people are trying to get to the UK.
I've been to Germany, I've been to Holland. You can work nowhere without like papers, but in UK you can work. I had in one building, I had about 165 men, and all of them was illegally in the UK.
Selim says getting on a boat to cross the channel now is much cheaper than hiding in a lorry, and many young people are offered a special deal.
A lot of guys, young guys, they go from here, they make a deal from the gangs who have houses when they do weed, and that they make a deal, they pay all the money to go there, and they have to work for them like 1 year, 2 years.
Back at Linda's house, her youngest son, Konstantin, shows me pictures of him with his brother, who is now in England.
I speak with him every night, every day. I miss him.
And would you do the same when you grow up?
I want to go in other countries like Germany, France, UK, but for studies, I want to be a great doctor.
If prospects for young people don't improve in Albania, more teenagers like him will continue to think the only way forward is to leave for places like the UK.
That's the BBC's Sarah Mineta reporting from Albania there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.